Greetings, Sister Queens. Welcome to the Wild Mystic Woman podcast, a weekly-ish interview series of powerful conversations with modern mystics, wild women, and divine feminine entrepreneurs. The Wild Mystic Woman podcast is hosted by me, Leila Saad, a writer and mentor for spiritual women doing sacred work. In each episode, we hold intimate and holy conversations about the heroine's journey, the spiritual entrepreneurial journey, and what it means to be a wild mystic woman. Today we are speaking to my sister queen and dear soul sister, Hilary Rain. Hilary is an artist, a writer, and a spiritual mentor for women who long to create meaningful, fulfilling, and empowered lives. Hilary's work is driven by a deep hunger to create resonant experiences and luminous transformation. Now, when I think of Hilary, the words that immediately come to mind for me are luscious beauty, evocative truth, sacred artist, and holy creatrix. So that gives you a little idea of what we have in store for you today. So welcome, Hilary.
Thank you, Leila. I have to tell you, I have tears in my eyes.
At
that beautiful, sacred introduction. It's such an honor to be here, and your words just really fill me with life. So thank you so much.
Oh, you are so welcome. And it's such an honor for me to have you on this show because, you know, I came across your work back in 2015, and I was going through a really hard time. I was going through what was a dark night of the soul, and I was not as far along on my spiritual journey as I am now, and I didn't quite know how to really immerse myself in the darkness, in the descent, and how I could grow through that period. And just through, you know, divine synchronicity, I was checking out annapurnaliving.com. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is the most gorgeous website I've ever seen. Who created it? Scroll to the bottom and your name was there. And so I clicked through to your website and immediately fell in love. Just the biggest girl crush. And I saw, that you had created, along with your friend Mandy Stewart, mm-hmm. You had co-created an ebook called, I think it's Into the Dark Night.
Yes.
And it's all about navigating the descent. And it was the very first time that I had ever heard about depression talked about in that way, because that was the only word that I had for it. I'd had bouts of depression throughout most of my life. But that was the very first time that I learned, oh, there is a name for it. And there is a kind of divine feminine process for working through it. And that book really had such a huge impact on me. It was so validating for me. And just kind of bringing it back to a full circle moment, your work with your collaboration with Mandy is called The Wild Mystics, right?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Yeah. So just having you here as the very first guest on this podcast is, for me, is just huge. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's such an honor. And I love the synchronicity of all that you described, because the timing is holy to me. You know, I'm no longer, you know, I was with Annapurna Living for a very beautiful season. And, mm-hmm. you know, I have really found it powerful to continue in my own work. And my name is no longer on the site. So if you had visited this year at yeah. any point, you would not have found that. And so I'm so grateful that you connected when you did. And yes, Into the Dark Night, it remains one of my deepest and most cherished co-creations, because it was born from essentially from what I needed. And at the time, everything that I was presented with seemed to wrap everything up into a pretty little bow, you know, giving pat answers of, if you do this, then you'll achieve that. And my experience with a dark night of the soul is that it very rarely comes to some sort of containable conclusion. It's very rare that you find answers that, you know, it's not an if then concept. And so it was important for me, and you know, I don't want to put words into Mandy's mouth either, but, you know, for both of us as the Wild Mystics to create an experience, a container, a journey that holds the paradox of the both and of the dark and the light, of the joy and the sorrow, and all of the holy experiences that we as women, as mystics, as deep soulful people go through. And the truth of it is, we don't always have the answers that sound pretty and the answers that, you know, people might long for at first, and yet they're not satisfying for a truly truthful experience. So
absolutely, so beautifully said. And I'm so I think that really planted a seed in me of, you know, coming from, you know, if this is the problem, this is the solution, to actually it's really a spiral, you know, non-rational journey that is part of being a wild mystic. So my question for you, Hillary, is what do you most love about being a wild mystic woman?
That's such a heart-opening question, and I love that you ask that. And my answer has to do with something that I've actually recently added to my about page or my work with me page on my website. And that's the fact that I love light, and yet I'm not a light worker. Not at least in the contemporary sense, because for me, it is so important to embrace and hold sacred both the dark and the light together. And that is a paradox that holds so much truth and so much possibility for transformation and secret messages and discovery and illumination. And so for me, being a wild mystic is being willing to be in the tension of the both, the darkness and the light, the spirit and the flesh, all of these seemingly opposing or mutually exclusive states of being or concepts, but concepts that have deep and wise implications in our lives. So I would say that would be my favorite part of it, because it's an invitation that if you're willing to be present to the pain of it and the unknown of it and the mystery, once you go through that doorway, your whole life is waiting. There is so much there that I think we either, because we're often afraid of what it's unknown, we choose not to go there. And sometimes there are seasons where it might not be appropriate to do that kind of deep work, or, you know, we might have other things that take our energy and our preoccupation. But when the time is in alignment, being able to do that both and work, be in that paradox, hold space for the dark and the light, that's where life is. I really believe that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so funny you say that, because I had gone to your website today and I actually wrote down that quote that you that you mentioned, that you said, I am light. I love light, but I am not a light worker, at least in the contemporary sense of the term. And I had to write that down because I've always said that too. And anytime someone has called me a light worker, I've said, yeah, I guess I am, but it doesn't really resonate for me, because I've always danced in the darkness. Like I've always had to play in the shadows. And so it's a term that I won't necessarily call myself it, but I get it, right? But it's, what you're saying is just resonates so deeply with me, because, you know, this year for so many of us has been hugely transformational, spiritually transformational in all sense of the words, year. 2016 has been this nine universal year, the year of letting go, the year of completion. And all around me, I see people just shedding and shedding and shedding who they thought they were and how they thought they needed to show up, right? And relationships coming to an end and businesses changing and everything. And to really do that work, you have to have that courage to go into the descent, into the darkness, into the shadow, to face the dark goddess, right? Mm-hmm. And it's, I know the women that I've been working with in the Wild Mystic Women's Circle, that's something we've been exploring a lot. And we talk about how before going in, there's a lot of fear because it's like, what's in there? You know, and what will I find, and how will it change me? And I need a map, right? I need someone to tell me how it's going to be. Can someone walk with me? And part of being a wild mystic for me is about having the courage. I don't really see it as fearlessness. I think we come out fearless, but when we go in, it's like drag, you know, go or be dragged, you know.
Yes.
You'll be brought back time and time again until you will have to go in there. And yes, you'll have to find what you will find.
And I think we get to a place at some point, any of us who are truly deep spiritual seekers and sojourners, we get to a place where we can't not go mm-hmm. into the descent if we are wanting to move forward in life. I feel like that is it's almost like an initiation of yeah. some kind to the next season of living, the next incarnation of how we choose to show up, whether it's, you know, in work, in our businesses, in our relationships, in our everyday, you know, in our pleasure, in our play, in our hard and holy labor of living, however that looks, and being willing to shed the layers, because that's the thing about the dark night and the descent. There's not room for much excess. And so anyone who is devoted to discovering their truth, what I call evocative truth, there is so much that needs to be let go and released, because it also, the other beauty of the dark night is that it is it's almost like a dark fire. I believe that there is a hidden light within the dark night that reveals itself almost on an as needed basis. And mm-hmm. it's like a secret discovery that is waiting for those who have the courage and the patience and the fortitude to be there. But it reveals not only your core truth, but it provides clarity. It gives you just enough light to see the next step. And I think that is something that maybe will give a little comfort to people who might be facing a season of the dark night, or who may have not embarked on this kind of journey, is that there are, you know, as difficult and as hard, because it is hard, and I don't want to gloss over that, yeah. you know, one small bit at all, but the beauty of it is that life is there, and wherever there is life, there's breath, there's spirit, there's mm-hmm. wind, there's light, and it reveals itself along the way. You may not see it all at first. You may not have as much as you think you need at the time, but if you're willing to be present to your truth and willing to even take the tiniest baby step forward in faith, because it is it's a very faith-based, trust kind of journey, because it's all about what you don't know, and yet you're compelled to move forward. So if I just want people to have hope that if this is a journey that is that you're compelled to go on, you will have what you need when you need it. I would almost call it a mystical law of the dark night. So take heart in that.
Oh, I love that so much. There are so many questions that I want to ask you next. There's so many different directions this can go in. You mentioned the word initiation just a few minutes ago, and that's been a very present thing for me this year. So I'm curious to know, what have you been initiated into this year? What have you been releasing, and what have you been reclaiming?
Oh, powerful questions. I will say that it all has to do with things that are beautiful, but they're very hard. And so I would say it all has to do with freedom, visibility, and money. I know that might sound crazy to talk about, and I haven't really articulated this, so it's something I'm still kind of working through, so it might come out very awkward, but this year I've had to make some really life-changing decisions about things like showing up, being visible. I've recently come through some significant debt that for a long time I feel like it clouded my vision, and the energy of being in debt really, really kept me from moving forward in a way that I needed to. And through a series of events that has been relieved for me this year, and that is a new kind of freedom that I haven't experienced in a long time. And so I would say, and because we're talking about evocative truth, this is as truthful as it can be, there's something kind of terrifying about both financial freedom and being visible and being willing to show up in a way that I either never have or haven't in a very long time. And also it's bringing up a lot of the deeper money stories that I've been working through that were buried so far, far below, just under the weight of the debt that I was under for so many years. So all of that is being stirred up, and it's not been very pleasant to, it's definitely brought me into another season of dark night of the soul. So that's kind of the quick answer to your questions. And, and so I'm willing to elaborate in any direction that you want to go in.
Yeah, I mean, thank you for sharing that, because I think definitely for me, money shame is probably the biggest area of shame for me. Like if I had to think of one topic that would just bring me to my knees in terms of shame, it would definitely be money, debt, making mistakes with money in the past, being irresponsible, not feeling like I can handle large sums of money, not feeling like I should, you know, someone else should be taking care of this huge responsibility of money. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely something that I've been working through this year. I think it will come through even bigger for me next year. I think that's mm-hmm. what's coming up. Thank you for sharing that, because what I believe is that, we can be both incredibly wise and powerful women in some areas of our lives. And in other areas of our lives, we can feel like 7-year-olds who are still trying to figure things out, right? Like we can hold both of those paradigms. And it doesn't make you any less of a wise woman or any less of, like, it doesn't make what you're here to do any less important. And this is part of the spiritual journey is you dig and then you find something and then you heal it, right? You reclaim it. And then you find that there's actually something bigger beneath that.
Yes.
And
surprise.
And you keep going and you keep going, and it's exhausting. But it's also really sacred. Really, really sacred. And I know that for those of us who have chosen to keep our eyes open and to keep living in our truth, we can't not go there. Like you said earlier, right? It's like we are compelled. It hurts. It's uncomfortable. It really just, it brings up all our shit, and it would be so easy to just not think about it, but we can't anymore. We just can't. Thank you for bringing that up. So something that I want to mention to our listeners is for each guest that comes on the show, I set up a mini altar with some crystals and some sacred objects, and I pull three cards from the deck that calls to the particular guest. And the deck that was calling for you, Hillary, was Danielle Laporte's Truth Bomb deck, which is interesting because I don't use that deck very much anymore. But there's something about the way that you write and the way that she writes. I think there is a very resonant energy. Just the truth.
I love that.
Yeah, just the soulful truth. And so the three cards that came up for you, which I would love for us to weave throughout our conversation as well. The first one is, you'll do it when you're ready. The second one is, put down your shield and stand in the rain of blessings.
Wow.
Yeah. And the third one is, plan for velocity.
I just got chills.
So what's coming up for you when you heard those cards?
Oh, just so much. So excuse me if I just kind of throw out a bunch of words that may not make sense, but
go for it.
Something that has been spoken to me and over me and for me this year, and by more than one person, is a sense of being a visionary and being visible. And for such a long time, at first, for most of my, I would say probably the first good 25 years of my life, it was because I was not at peace in my body, because I am very curvy. I am, you know, I'm not a small woman. And so for a long time, I tried to hide myself visibly. I didn't want to be seen. I was ashamed of how I looked. I did not want to be the center of attention. I did not want to be looked at or judged or criticized. You know, there is so much that women who carry extra weight, so many stories that we're working through, and so that held me back for a very long time. And so for the past, I would say good, you know, almost a decade and a half, I have been working on that. So that has been an area that has brought me to where I am now, of, you know, I am at peace in my body and making wise choices for myself, but I still have held myself back from visibility and many different ways. And this year, especially in the latter part of this year, you know, as I've been looking forward to 2017 and, you know, what my business looks like and what my work looks like and how I will be showing up in the world, it's all about being visible and being willing to be visible and doing it in a way that still is in alignment with my truth and with my way of being in the world. For example, I am a very quiet person. I'm very introverted. I'm an INFP. I'm a highly sensitive person.
Yeah.
And so I'm not, you know, this isn't about compromising who I am, but it is about finding ways to expand within my truth of who I am. And, you know, how can someone who is quiet and sensitive and introverted like me show up in a way that's very visible and willing to be visible and willing to be seen, willing to be light, willing to be present? My word for the year I've chosen for 2017 is presence. And that's part of this journey, is willing to be present for myself, with spirit, and for others, because I have, and you've probably seen this in my Dear Artist course, but I have such an urgent sense, and I'm compelled to not, I'm choosing my words carefully. I don't want to live an aimless life. Like, I have a sense of urgency about the time that I have on earth, the energy that I have, my purpose, and I'm no longer willing to not be intentional. And by that, I mean, I don't want to waste my time, waste my energy, waste my resources. And I'm hesitant to use that word because I do believe that as an alchemist, I call myself an alchemist, that any quote unquote waste can be transformed and used to fertilize the ground. So I don't mean that in a judgmental sense, but it's very important for me to really become intentional, whether it's through soulful strategy, whether it's through support and other resources, whatever it is that I need to do that supports me fulfilling why I was born. And so visibility has a lot to do with that. Plan for velocity, the fact that you pulled that card, it's, that's where it's, that's what this, the past few, definitely few weeks and a few months have been about, is laying the foundation for 2017. There's just something about this year that, I almost just feel like, get ready. You know, do the work that needs to be done. And so that's why, bringing it back to our previous conversation about money, it's, I've got these lingering money stories that I have, that I'm working through right now, that it's not been easy. But I'm finding my way, and I feel an urgency that I have to get this taken care of. And part of it, you know, as we're having this conversation, it's in December of 2016. And I believe this will air in the beginning of 2017. I have this urgency to, it's not about forcing the work, but at the same time, I want to release it all in 2016. So as I approach, you know, the last couple weeks of the year, that's the intensity has been here to just do it, release it with 2016, and move forward with a very clear, intentional, present, soulful and sacred path before me for 2017. So I could keep going. Yeah. I really could, but those are the initial thoughts I had after you read those cards. That's just really powerful for me. So hear what you chose.
That is so powerful. And I love playing with oracle cards and tarot cards, because I always get the guidance that is just like, yeah, that's what I needed. That's exactly what I needed. But everything that you've just said, my soul is like, yes. What you've said about intentionality and presence, that has been a huge part of how I've been approaching my business this year. I started off at the beginning of the year. So we're talking 2016 here. I started off at the beginning of 2016 with a lot of goals and plans, a lot. And I achieved a lot of them pretty quickly. And what I realized about just before midway through the year was that you can have like these huge, big goals, and you can, because we're smart, capable, resourceful, wise women. You know, if we put our minds and our time to something, we can get it done. But in achieving a lot of those goals, I realized, I was thinking, okay, now what? You know, now what? Like, okay, I did the thing, now what? And I realized that, I realized two things. I realized, firstly, that the most important things that happened this year were not in my plans at all. That the divine always has a much bigger plan for me, for us.
Yes.
And then the second thing was that it's really important to me, like you've just said, to be really intentional about what I do and how I do it. Because that intention needs to be fused throughout everything I create, so that when it's achieved, quote unquote, you know, that feeling, there isn't that feeling of now what? There is a sense of completion, a sense of wholeness, a sense of fulfillment, because I was clear about what I was doing and why I was doing it and how I wanted to do it.
Yes.
And so intentionality has been huge. And, you know, just before we hit record on this recording, I said, you know, I really want to declare what our intention is, because everything that I do from now on has to be, okay, are we clear? We know what we're doing. We know why we're doing it. Okay, now let's enjoy this. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, just what you've been saying about visibility, I really want to talk about this, because I'm an INFP, highly sensitive person. like yourself. I'm an alchemist, like yourself as well. And I know that for, you know, you talked about your struggle with your weight, and then on top of that, also being highly sensitive, introverted. And I know that, that a lot of the women who are listening to this would probably resonate a lot with those descriptions. You know, how can we, what is your philosophy about showing up in your work, in your business, you know, showing up, you know, not hiding, showing up, but fully honoring yourself as you are?
That is such a great question. It's a very deep question that speaks to, I think, a tenderness that so many women hold, because anything that has to do with our appearance and our actual physical bodies, alongside our dreams and our calling and all of these things, it requires a sense of courage that maybe for whatever reason, a lot of us have either not been, I don't want to say willing, we have chosen not to say yes to at certain points in our lives. And so we tend to carry stories mm-hmm. that, whether they're true for us now, at one point in our journeys, they were true, and they left impacts or imprints on our beings, whether it's our soul or whether it's our physical body. You know, shame has, you know, I've written and shared so much about shame, because it is something that holds us back from what we're truly meant to embody and embrace in life. And so, to answer your question about a philosophy about showing up and being visible in my body and as myself, but also honoring myself, it comes back to two things that I hold so dearly. One is unconventional beauty, and the other is evocative truth. Again and again, it all comes down to that. And what I mean by this is that as a mystic, I believe that it is possible and also essential for me as a woman to cultivate a perspective that can find beauty anywhere and everyone in any situation. And it's been challenging because, you know, then, you know, what do you do with pain and tragedy and truly heartbreaking situations? But it is a lifelong process. But for me to be able to show up and appreciate unconventional beauty when it comes to myself, when I am feeling shame or even just wanting to apologize for how I look or for being overweight, because for a lot of women who carry excess weight, that's really how it manifests, is an apology, it's apologetic language, apologetic living. You know, it's kind of like, I want to hide, I'm sorry that you have to see me. And that's something that I've written about, and I help a lot of women with, or we work on together, because it really manifests in ways that you might not necessarily recognize at first. But if I can stand here and be devoted to unconventional beauty, that has to also be directed at myself. Mm-hmm. And that takes courage. It takes so much courage, because it's not easy to be able to look at something that maybe all of your life up to a certain point, whether it's today or whether it's, you know, 5 years ago, that maybe you spent so much time and energy shaming or hating or calling names or speaking negatively about. So I will say it's a process, but I am committed to unconventional beauty, and that has to be, I have to include myself in that, as well as, you know, everyone else in the world and life in general. And that's also my approach to truth. So if I am to show up, I'm a very private person. And that is something that I've been really thinking about a lot lately, is how can I honor the fact that I am a very private person, but at the same time, be authentic and vulnerable and willing to share parts of my journey that may be hard and not pretty and mm-hmm. not easy. And I just keep reminding myself, if I can show up true, then I am doing what I need to be doing. So that is one way that I'm honoring. So how that might look in a practical sense is, you know, there might be a day that I just need quietness and I call it my cave. Sometimes I go into my cave and that's where I pray and I write, and I need that cocoon sense of, I just need to replenish myself, replenish my spirit. I need to talk to God. I need to, you know, journal. I need to dream. I need to, you know, free poetry, whatever it needs to be. That is true. That is truth. That is my truth mm-hmm. in that day. And then there are days that I can be present and say, you know what, I'm really struggling with this old money story that has popped up and I don't know what to do with this. I don't know how to reconcile it. And I don't know if this is answering your question at all, but I would say that I honor how I am by just staying committed to my truth and my devotion to unconventional beauty.
Yeah. What I'm hearing is that you are a woman who is committed to living her values.
Mm, yes.
So truth and beauty are, if someone asked me, what do you think some of Hillary's core values are, I would say truth and beauty.
Absolutely.
What I'm hearing is that you are very anchored in those. So how it might look day to day will be different, but it's almost like if I know that I'm living in alignment with my evocative truth and I'm living in a beautiful way, then I'll figure it out, right?
Like Absolutely.
Whatever it's going to be today, however I'm feeling today, whatever circumstances are going on in my life today, as long as I have those core values and I'm staying true to them, I will figure it out.
Oh, you said that so beautifully and perfectly. That is exactly it. Because I think, and you can probably resonate with this as well, as wild mystics, as women who are devoted to truth and our values, we can't be boxed in. Mm-hmm. We can't be, you know, and this is beautiful. It's wonderful and powerful, but it also sometimes feels challenging because then there are those days where we just want someone to tell us what to do. We wish mm-hmm. we had a formula step by step. But at the end of the day, we thrive on being in the flow of an organic life that is in service to spirit and in service to others and following our core inner selves. And we can't be boxed in. We can't be constrained by a formula. So you put it perfectly. So thank you for adding your phrasing to that. That was beautiful.
You're so welcome. I mean, it's something that I figured out for myself this year, and I was helping some of my mentoring clients with, is, okay, we have been in these business programs or e-courses or whatever, where we're being given these tips, strategies, blueprints, you know, great information about growing a successful business. And yet, because we are wild mystics, we rebel against it. And not because we know what we want, but because we must.
Absolutely.
Right? Because we can't be boxed in. And so we rebel, but we don't know what we're rebelling to or with. Mm-hmm. And something that I figured out for myself this year and worked with my clients around was, you need to know what your core leadership values are. You need to know what is most important to you, that when it comes down to it, when you're making a decision about which way to go or how to show up or how to sell or what to sell, how to market, etc., that you know that there are these core things that you believe in, you want to live wholeheartedly, you want people to know that that's what you're about. And if you can identify those things and keep them at the front, like not just paying lip service to them, but actually weaving them both directly and indirectly through everything that you do, then you'll figure it out. You'll know what to do next. And it was so interesting because for myself, but also for the clients that I was working with, this just wasn't at the forefront. And so there was a lot of like, I don't know what my truth is. I don't know where I want to go because there's no strong foundation underneath all of this chaos that's happening with these webinars that need to be run and programs that need to be launched and blogs that need to be written. And so it's, you know, going back to what you were saying earlier about intentionality, it's like, can you get to the very core? What needs to be present? What is an absolute necessity to be there so that I feel okay, so that I feel aligned? And if I have those, then the rest I can flow, as you said, in this really organic way. I think that's really, really important.
Absolutely. And, you know, as we also to tie it in with what we talked about earlier with being in the descent and in that dark, uncomfortable place, trusting that if we are following our soul, following our true purpose, what we need will be given to us when we need it. And that it doesn't always feel like it will. And sometimes I feel like it comes late, but it is true that we're given the direction, the light, the way we need when we are in the path that we're meant to be. When we are moving forward, following what has been given to us, following what we're compelled, you know, like when we can't not do it, we will know what we need to know when we need to know it.
And when we need to know it.
It's not very comforting, but I think as the older I get and the longer I've been on this journey, it's been easier to accept that and surrender to that. And that has released a lot of energy that has then reignited the fire and kept that fire sustained. So maybe that will give hope because you will know.
So I want to talk a little bit about what you've called evocative truth. I call it sacred truth. I think we're both talking about the same thing though. You are an incredible writer. I really encourage everyone who's listening to go over to Hillary's website and just soak up her posts. Your newsletters feel like love letters. I don't often enjoy reading newsletters. I've unsubscribed from a lot of them. But when I read yours, I feel like you're speaking directly to me, like we're having a real intimate conversation. And everything that you create, from your Dear Artist program to we'll talk a little bit about you, what your business journey has been, but just everything that you create is overflowing with truth. It's overflowing with there's so many words. It's like tenderness, truth, fire, quiet power. One of the things that has stepped forward for me this year is realizing that I'm a truth warrior and that what I am here to do is to support and embolden women to reclaim, to remember, to embody their own sacred truth. And what I found in this journey, because you talked earlier about, you know, apologizing for taking up space, apologizing for our existence. Mm-hmm. And I feel like as women, we do that, even if we're, you know, even if we meet modern beauty standards and we have all the things that, you know, modern patriarchal society says makes us worthy, we still have that lingering sense of, can I really take up space? Am I really worthy? What I found in my own journey of reclaiming my evocative truth and in supporting my clients is that it's like the journey of getting there to that is like, I get a picture of a rose that is slowly opening. So it's like we are these beautiful, beautiful roses, right? But we're like tightly closed buds. And slowly, slowly, the petals start opening. The more safe we feel, the more courageous we get in sharing our truth. What has been your experience for yourself, but also how you support your clients, your community with getting to a place where you can really own your evocative truth?
It's a great question. I would say, and I will answer for myself first. Mm. I think it comes back to that sense of urgency that I spoke of earlier, and the sense of I want my life to matter. I want to live a meaningful life. I want to leave a legacy that is that helps to transform lives for the people that it's meant to touch. As an example, I love the work of John O'Donohue, who many readers might have read some of his. He wrote Anamkara. He wrote Beauty. He's written so many beautiful books. He passed away a few years ago, but his work is still so alive and so full of spirit and truth and power. And I want to live a life that leaves that sort of presence, even after I'm gone. And what I realize is that while I am still living, I need to be, like, I have no more energy or time to spend not following in some way the forward moving journey, that the reason that I came here, the reason that I was born, you know, what I meant to do. And this isn't to say, of course, that I don't have leisure time. You know, it's very important to play and have leisure and connect and have pleasure and all of these things, but to do so with intention. So for me, it's just been a matter of being willing to stand in that intention and not spend any more energy being concerned with things that don't have a lasting or eternal value. Mm. And it's not been a very easy journey. It did take me a very long time to get to this place, but it almost becomes a sense of, and this will sound a little callous at first, but it's not what I mean. I almost have to not care what other people think. And it's not that I don't care about the other people, but I have to be so, you know, I have my core people that I listen to and that I converse with and that, you know, I learn from. But in general, having a boundary and being strong and what I know that I need to be doing and not be swayed by other people doing things. This might not make sense. So as an example, you know, as a businesswoman, as a sacred businesswoman, there are, you know, certain people that I love and look up to who have a more, maybe a glamorous approach or who maybe have made it in a certain way. And for me, I'm inspired by that. But if I were to try to follow in those footsteps, it wouldn't be truth for me. Mm. And so there's almost a sense of willingness to not be, commercially acceptable in the sense that the modern way of doing business might be. Like, I'm not looking to be on the cover of magazines. I'm not looking to to everyone to know my name. I want to make a difference, a true, lasting, real difference in the lives of the women that I'm here to serve. And and that sometimes looks like rolling up your sleeves and being willing to get dirty and being willing to go to that dark place. And it's not pleasant. It's not glamorous. It's not what most of us think of when we say, I want to grow up and, you know, do this or that. It's hard work. And I would say that is my evocative truth. It's being willing to be truthful, gracious, hopefully too, at the same time, but not wanting to whitewash necessarily, not trying to come across as it being easier or prettier than it might be in actuality. Is this answering your question at all?
Yeah, and this is I'm smiling. You can't see me, but I'm smiling because this is business the Wild Mystic Woman way. Mm-hmm. You know, this is, you know, a little bit of truth sharing from me here. Hillary, you and I connected earlier this year because of a viral blog post that I wrote, that went viral unexpectedly. Yes.
Amazing article.
Thank you. But I went from like obscurity to suddenly a blaring spotlight on me. And, you know, I had been working for months on building a strong foundation, building a soulful business, wanting, you know, more clients, more subscribers, more money, everything. I wanted everything. And I was following all the steps like a good girl. I was taking all the steps, doing all the things that, you know, the powers that be, those beautiful, amazing entrepreneurs who have quote unquote made it recommend. But when that happened, which I feel like to maybe someone who isn't a Wild Mystic Woman, a huge thing like that happening would be like, I've made it, you know, because suddenly I was getting a lot of subscribers. I suddenly had a waiting list of like 30 people who were interested to work with me. I was getting interview requests left, right, and center. I mean, this is what I'd been working towards, right? This should be the thing that should make me really happy. And instead, what it did for me was that it was an initiation into the descent. Because what happened was that in retrospect now, I realize I didn't want that which I thought I wanted. And that kind of popularity made me highly uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. It made me feel like I had kind of gained acceptance into a group almost that I didn't realize that I didn't want to be a part of. Mm-hmm. I thought I'd wanted to be a part of it, but I actually didn't. And I realized that it might have looked like self-sabotage on the outside. Because it's like, why are you, you know, this is an upper limit problem. Why are you backing down now just when things are really revving up? But what it was my soul saying, this isn't your truth. This isn't the trajectory that you want to be on. And it was highly confusing at the time because I didn't know what I know now. I didn't know that I'm a Wild Mystic Woman. And I had to take that journey to figuring it out. But in that journey of figuring it out is I realized that there are a lot more women who are like me and like you and who want this this way of being where we don't fit into a box and we're not looking for someone to tell us what to do and we're not looking for the easy answers or the, you know, like the standard answers. We're looking for, it's like for me, my business is a container for my spiritual transformation. Mm-hmm. And that means that I have to own it. Right? It means that I have to be the one to figure out the steps and to go through all the initiations that it's taken me through. And now I wouldn't have it any other way. I pulled out of a lot of what I would maybe describe as mainstream programs that I was part of, because it just no longer, it was like all those things that I thought I wanted, I actually don't want. And I know that I could get it if I wanted to, you know, and that's not an arrogance. That's kind of just like, I just know, just like I can do it, you can do it. We're capable, we're smart. We can figure things out if we really wanted to do it, but I don't want it. I want this. I want what I have now, what we're doing now, what we're talking about now. I don't want to be, I saw myself on this path of becoming kind of like an expert or a guru or something, which I thought there was a deep ego part of me that wanted that. But when it came, it was like, you really don't want this. And so it's, you know, finding our truth in our business. And that's why I call it the spiritual entrepreneurial journey, because the two are so intertwined. If you are a spiritual seeker, mm-hmm. you can't have one without the other. Your spiritual growth is just everything when it comes to your business growth.
I love that you said that, and I want to talk about that in just a moment. But I just want to say, what a gift that you were given from the universe to experience just enough of that recognition and that sense of going viral that you were able to see now, you know, mm-hmm. instead of putting forth the energy, you know, for the next 10 years to maybe get to that point, you were given that now, and you were able to make, you know, different choices now that have opened up a completely new way of living and being and operating and running your business. And so that's just such grace to me. And I love that that happened for you. And I love that you have had the wisdom and the strength to, and I would say even the humility to say, that's not for me. This is what's for me. And it may, you know, to the outside, it might look, you know, some people might say, why did you do that? You gave all of that up. And yet to me, the difference, it's a difference of saying you're letting go of just junk food, and you're saying mm-hmm. yes to a meal that is so nourishing that it is going to support your life. And you're going for what actually feeds and nourishes your soul and the souls of others that you work with. So I'm just so grateful to you for the courage and the strength and the humility to make those kinds of choices in the moment and right as they were happening. That's really, it's so wise. So I'm just grateful. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you. I am grateful for that divine wisdom that led me. And it's like exactly what you were saying earlier. You will be given what you need at the time, right? So it was a slow awakening, but I couldn't deny it. And I'm really grateful. Thank you for reflecting that back to me. But yeah, let's talk about a little bit about your Dear Artist program, because I really want people to know about the work that you have birthed. Mm. This is just one of your many creations, but this is a really beautiful one. And you talk about it as a sacred rebellion.
Yes.
And you talk about it as making our lives a luscious work of art.
Yes.
Oh, love that. I love, this is why I come onto your website just to soak up the energy of luscious beauty.
Thank you.
Yeah. Just, okay. Let's talk about artistry. Who's an artist? Who can call themselves an artist, and how we can make our lives beautiful and luscious works of art. What is this program about?
I love this. Thank you so much. Yes, Dear Artist, it has my heart. It is, I wish you could see me right now. I have the biggest smile on my face because it just lights me up to talk about it and to walk with people through this program. It came from a sense of, you know, for so long, I always wanted to call myself an artist, and yet I am not a painter. I've tried to paint at different times in my life, but it's just not something that I've picked up or find satisfaction with. I'm a writer. I am a photographer. I do many creative things, but just to be able to call myself an artist felt like I couldn't, that was holy ground that I was not worthy to walk on. And I kept talking to women who felt the same. And my premise is that your life is your art, and you get to call yourself an artist. You get to be lush and creative, and you get to make life beautiful. And you have so many tools at your disposal to create this work of art from your living. And so this program is designed to help give tools and unconventional approaches, new perspectives, through healing things like self-sabotage and shame and new ways of using fear and overcoming overwhelm and stuckness and just all of these different things that hold us back from living the full and meaningful lives that we were made for. And the thing about art is that it transforms, and transformation it's what I am most passionate about as an alchemist, because there's so much life to be had if we're willing to be transformed. And once we do that, whether it's through just a simple mindset shift, or whether it's through healing old wounds, or whether it's through having the courage to call yourself an artist, or having the courage to own the gifts and talents that you have, and to release the things that hold you back from, you know, like we talked about earlier, a sense of apologizing for taking up space, apologizing for existing, apologizing for, even apologizing repeatedly for mistakes that have been made, or, you know, just this sense of just not being worthy to embrace and embody the life that you're given, or express the joy and the gifts and the wisdom and truth that's within you. So it's a program that is designed to help remove the obstacles and heal the obstacles in order for you to be free. It's all about finding freedom. And that's, I could keep talking about this. It lights me up. I love it so much.
Oh, it's funny because everything you've ever created for me has always felt like art. And it's, you know, when you approached me to be a guest speaker on this program, at first I was like, but I'm not an artist.
I remember you said that.
Right.
I was like, yes, you are.
It's like, really? Like, am I? And I know that the word writer was a word that I reclaimed this year. And it's so funny now because it's like, duh, you know? But it was at the beginning of the year, it was like, do I really have the right to call myself that? I haven't published a book. I haven't, people don't know me for that. And yet I write all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's the primary way that I express myself really, really clearly. Does a person need to be in an artistic field to be a part of their artist?
Absolutely not. No, that's the beauty of it is it's whether you are an artist by trade or whether you want just a more creative and enlivened approach to life, it's about making your life a work of art and appreciating your life as art and having the unapologetic courage to rebel against expectations, you know, obligations, you know, all of the shoulds and the things that other people have said that you have to be, or that you need to be, or that you can't do, or this or that, and just moving forward with a strength and a resolute knowing of who you are and what you're here to do and be, and No, it's for any woman who wants to have a life that is a work of art, whether, you know, whether she is a mother or whether she makes just delicious sandwiches or whether she reads bedtime stories or, you know, anyone who makes anything or, anyone who, you know, a surgeon is an artist, you know, you think about the skill and the technique, someone who goes to work every day and sells skincare is an artist, someone who, does math as an artist. I mean, there's art everywhere. And so it's about cultivating the eyes and the perspective and the soul just to really embrace the creativity and the art that is your life and drawing meaning and beauty from it. And, yes.
Yeah. I feel like a gift that I really received from you, whether you realized it or not this year, is the gift of beauty making and, life as art. And so, I feel like I, just through absorbing your energy and, you know, these beautiful creations that you put out there, I go about my life, my day-to-day life I'm talking about, you know, not the big, like, what am I doing here in the world? Just the day-to-day, getting up in the morning, you know, doing my morning routines, being with my family. I feel like there's a whole new layer of intentionality when it comes to wanting to have beautiful experiences, and that the simplicity of lighting a candle or lighting incense or having a beautiful meal or playing with my kids, like doing art with my kids, that there is, I feel a sense of aliveness and juiciness. And I feel like, especially for anyone who's living in modern society and in this busy world where we are set on go, go, go all the time, there is a dryness and an aridity that can be present a lot of the time. And so when we bring beauty making into our lives, and this is the beauty of Dear Artist, it's like we bring moisture and juiciness and aliveness into our lives. And it has to be felt, right? There's no kind of logical, rational way to describe the effect that has.
Exactly.
But it enlivens you and it changes the way, I feel like it changes the energy that we emit out into the ether. And so we begin to attract more beautiful experiences because we are being beautiful. We are cultivating beauty. We are cultivating art. And so more art and beauty is attracted to us. And so it's this beautiful cycle of, we become kind of like these vortexes, right? Or just beauty, 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 just swirling all around us. So I really want to encourage everyone who's listening to check out Dear Artist, because it's really, really good. Really.
Thank you. Well, the power of art lies in its ability to move someone. And when you are moved, whether it is in your body or whether it's in your heart or your spirit, life is there. You know, when you don't move your body, you stagnate. The blood doesn't circulate. The oxygen isn't distributed to your entire body very well. Movement is what helps sustain life. And I believe that's true, whether it's in a very physical form or whether it is in the spirit. And so to be able to embrace art as a way to deepen your life and your living and reconnect to spirit and reconnect to the soul self, that the power and the way that, you know, when you have that energy, when you have that power, you can do and become so many things. And it's just that being moved, the willingness to be moved, and the perspective of how can I be moved in my own life and how can I move my life? There's so much healing and empowerment that happens there. So
yes. And for our entrepreneurial listeners, what I really want to highlight is that this spills over into our businesses. And so we begin treating business as art. you know, for those of us who are tired of seeing the same old branding, the same old, you know, three-part video series, the same old, you know, like the same old structure of blog posts, all of those things, this spills over. And so we begin to take a very, very creative and artistic approach to our businesses. How can I create art instead of just creating content? How can I create beauty instead of just creating a funnel?
Exactly. Yes.
Yes. So, yep. So we'll put the details for that course with the show notes, as well as your other offerings. I know that you work one-on-one with clients. You're doing photography now, which you've always done, I believe, right? But it's something that you're coming into.
Thank you for, and thank you for asking about my photography. It's, I have always been a photographer, and it's been, always been something that has brought so much life and joy to me. And yet I haven't engaged it in a, as an intentional way as I am now, and finding ways to bring my, mystical, you know, evocative truth to my photography work. It's just opened up, and it feels like a whole new world to me. And I am passionate about drawing forth the, both the beauty and the truth within, especially other women who may not as readily see it for themselves. If I can give them an experience, I call it a photographic experience, because it's one thing that I love to do is to connect on a soul level through my camera and through my presence, and draw forth these beautiful, truthful, mystical qualities that sometimes we just need to be able to see it for ourselves. And if we can do that through someone else's eyes, that is a gift that it's priceless. So that is my, that's what I do. And I'm rebuilding my portfolio right now, so I don't have a lot up on my site right now, but
well, I've told you, right, that it's on my bucket list to fly from Qatar all the way over to the States just to be photographed by you. I can't imagine anyone who could better capture my essence or the essence of Wild Mystic Woman.
Thank you. That gives me chills, because I would love that so much. And yes, that needs to happen. And I can't wait for that to happen. And
it's happening. It's happening.
I'm allowing this to be, you know, at first when I first put up my page on my site, and I had a sense of, I need to get clients, I need to do this, I need to do that. And there was a sense of hustle. And I realized that I was not in alignment with my own values of, which, and you talk about this so beautifully, of flow. And so, you know, I've given myself, I've done the work to give myself permission to just let this flow. It's not something that is going to break into, you know, being overnight. It's something that when the right people show up, it's going to happen. And so, but it is, it's a very powerful, intimate, vulnerable experience. And I'm so grateful for those who have said yes, and more will be showing soon.
Oh, I can't wait. I cannot wait to see the portfolio you're building. So it's incredible. So Hillary, you and I could talk forever, literally.
Yes, absolutely.
But we need to draw our conversation to a close now. So firstly, I just want to say thank you so much for this incredible conversation. I've been moved by so many of the things that you've said here today. I think so many of our listeners will be too. And I, again, really encourage them to go over to your website, because there is so much that I cannot even convey of how beautiful and soulful and necessary your work is. So I'm so grateful for your presence in your, in the world, and I'm so grateful for your sistership as well. You've been a huge part of my year this year, and been a kind of soul doula for me as I birthed myself. So I'm so grateful for you. So as we come to a close, we're going to go into the quick fire round of questions. Okay, what is your favorite book?
Oh, I would have to say Beauty, the Invisible Embrace by John O'Donohue.
I have to check that out. What's your favorite time of the year?
Oh, definitely the deep season of autumn, and as it turns into winter.
Yeah, I feel that. I feel that emanating from you. Yeah. What do you most love creating?
Experiences that transform and touch the lives of other women in a way that invokes their soul and stays with them. I'm all about an experience that you can never forget, just because the way that it has holistically, and by that I mean I love to create experiences that invoke your sensuality, that you can feel and taste, and even down to the incense that is burning, the way it smells, the light that's in a room. I think that comes from my being a highly sensitive person. I'm very sensitive to even things like light. And so being able to create that experience that's very healing and transformational, I love to create that.
Oh, yes. When was the last time you cried?
Oh, goodness. Well, I will say I cried earlier when you introduced me so beautifully, but I would say just deep soul crying. It was probably a couple of weeks ago, as I was just really working through some of my old money stories and just working through all of the stuff that gets stirred up and you know, because it triggers one thing after another, and you start thinking, how can I help other people if I'm still working through this right here? And, you know, so,
yeah. Yeah, I feel you. Who has been your biggest teacher?
Oh, there have been so many. This is not going to be a rapid fire answer to your rapid fire question.
Biggest teachers.
Oh, goodness. It's everyone from my husband, who accepts and supports me and everything, and his way of just encouraging me to not let my fear of what other people might think hold me back from doing what I need to do. That has been tremendous. John O'Donohue, his writing has just revolutionized my life. I learned from my clients, like my clients who are so vulnerable and ready and willing to show up and do this deep soul work, constantly inspire me. I learned from you. I learned from, oh gosh, I could go on forever, but those are just some off the top of my head right now.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for that. What is your favorite spiritual practice?
I've had many spiritual practices throughout my life, and I will say I can't pinpoint one favorite, but I will say what I am most, what I will just say for right now.
Yeah.
I have reconnected to prayer in a way that I have not in years. And it's very, I call it whole body prayer, you know, so whether I'm dancing or journaling or crying or on my knees or on my face or curled up in bed, just talking to God, whatever it looks like, prayer it's my connection, it's my soul, and it's the divine in communion. So that it looks many different ways, but that's been my favorite.
I love that. Please write a blog post about that, because I would love to read more about that.
Okay, I will.
Yeah, so, okay, and last question. What do you most want our listeners to know about creating a meaningful, fulfilling, and empowered life?
I want the listeners to know that you already have everything that you need within you to do this. You don't have to go out and buy the latest courses, the latest programs, the latest gurus, the latest books. You know, there can be value in supporting your life through these external programs, but to truly live a soul-filled, heart-led, intentional, intuitive life, it's about reconnecting to you, to your evocative truth. And you can do that right here, right now. And you don't have to go outside yourself for this. And you can do that today. It's not, you know, again, there's many resources that can support you in this, but you know, I've talked to many people who think, well, that sounds great, but I have to work, or I've got kids, or I'm too tired, or I'm burned out, or I've tried it before, or I don't have the money to invest in, you know, this coach or this program. All of that, it's at the end of the day, it's not about all that. It's about you and your soul and where you are right now and your truth right now. So
beautiful. That's such a perfect ending, because I actually wanted to close with by reading a quote of yours.
Oh, wow.
It's from a blog post that you wrote called "We Have Been Breathed Upon." A recent one, I believe.
Yes.
And it just cut right to the core of me, that I was like, I have to read this at the end of this episode. So this is about truth telling. You say, tell your truth. And if your voice shakes, let it shake the earth. If your knees tremble, let the ground also tremble as you rise. When your heart pounds below your skin, let the rushing river of your blood song be your primal rhythm, the wild anthem your soul cries out when she bursts into light. For when a woman speaks her truth, she sets her soul free. When a woman speaks her truth, she sets others free. When a woman speaks her truth, she heals herself. When a woman speaks her truth, she heals the world. When a woman speaks her truth, she invites, creates, heals, births, and awakens life. Oh. Hillary Rain, thank you so much for today's conversation.
Thank you, Layla. It's been an honor. And again, I have tears as we close. So thank you so much for inviting me into your sacred space.
Thank you. And thank you to our listeners. So watch out for the show notes with all the details about Hillary's work, how you can connect with her, how you can work with her. And I look forward to speaking with you all again in next week's episode. Thanks very much. Goodbye.